From the Gospel of Mark. But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Calculus, knitting, fitting those tiny ships into those little bottles, driving a stick shift, a variety of home repairs. These are some of the many things in life that I just do not understand. Now, of course, there are more, but even I know enough not to share all my dark secrets in the first 5 months of being here. 2 years ago, I began my first full-time church placement. I was halfway through my Master's of Divinity. I was eager, passionate, and ready to prove myself. And on my first day at St. George's on the Hill, the first minute I walked through the doors, I was invited to a prayer shawl group that met once a month and was happening to meet that morning. Knitting and crocheting, neither of which I knew anything about. But that morning, I would have given anything to have had a class on that in seminary. I walked into the room with about 25 people chatting and making a variety of beautiful shawls and mittens and clothes for children. And it seemed like they were working at rapid speed with their fingers, looking at me with such hope that I could do it too. Little did they know, on my best days, I have difficulty with chopsticks. So I chatted my way through the morning and spent the rest of the day Googling and watching YouTube videos about how to knit. What pieces should I start with? And then I went to Michael's craft store to buy the latest knitting supplies because I figured it would get me there faster, or at least I would look super cool as I tried. The group invited me back month after month for the entire time I was there, and some members asked me throughout the week if I needed any help, as I was a beginner. I smiled and stayed silent in what I actually wanted to say, and instead mumbled I was doing fine. I couldn't tell them how awful I was, how every line was crooked, and how the yarn was sitting in my trunk in a knot that I never intended to undo. So I smiled, and I stayed silent. A fake it till you make it kind of thing, except I literally was making nothing. I was silent in my moments of confusion, just as the disciples were silent because they did not understand. Although I will admit, in this moment, I thought my situation was much worse than the disciples. Today's gospel reading comes right after we are told the disciples failed to cast out a spirit upon a boy. A parent of the boy tells Jesus his disciples could not help their son and asks for Jesus' help instead, who then casts out the spirit. Perhaps reeling with confusion, anger, frustration, and embarrassment that they could not cast out the demon like they were commissioned to, these disciples are now walking along with Jesus, continuing in their mission, probably thankful for a teacher who helped cover up their shortfalls. And as a curate, I can really understand this kind of thing. And this is the time Jesus foretells them his death and his resurrection. And the Gospel of Mark says they did not understand. In the Jewish tradition, the Messiah that was expected was not going to come and suffer and die, but rather would be powerful and triumphant. This was not the ending the people were expecting or hoping for. Even more, accepting Jesus' death for the disciples meant that they would be all alone, without their teacher, the one they loved and respected, and without the one that could do what they could not. What kind of dangers would there be for the disciples when Jesus wasn't with them? They did not understand and were silent. The gospel says, as the disciples entered a house in Capernaum, Jesus asked them what they argued about along the way. And again, they were silent. Silent, perhaps, because they were ashamed of what they were arguing about, who was the greatest, or maybe because they still didn't have an answer. Or maybe they were silent because they were scared of their teacher, or because they were exhausted. Either way, again, they were silent. How many times are you silent? Silent when you don't understand, are afraid, are embarrassed, hurting, just trying to get through the day? Think about the times when communication is hard. Think about the times where you just want to curl up and be alone and ignore the world that can often ask so much of us. How many times are you silent? Some of you might be thinking to yourselves, I'm not silent, I'm an extrovert. I'm loud, I communicate well, I wear my heart on my sleeve. Or maybe you're thinking this about somebody else. But I think perhaps we're all a bit more silent than we might initially think. Do you share your faith, your love of God, your commitment to Christ? Or are you silent? Perhaps even more important, do you share your questions and uncertainties about your faith, about your love of God and commitment to Christ? Or are you silent? Amy Oden writes, in our own time, no one wants to look uninformed, confused, or clueless. We withhold our toughest questions, often within our own churches and within Christian fellowship. We pretend we don't have hard questions, yet the deepest mysteries of life do indeed elude us. Why do good people suffer? Why are humans so brutal to one another? Why does evil succeed? If God's own son is betrayed and killed, then no one is safe. Why did God set up a world like this? We all have our questions. We just don't always share them. A preacher I once heard shared that he always found it so interesting that usually at coffee hours after the church service, there aren't many conversations about belief, the sermon, the Eucharist, or the questions that they all would have raised. Usually nothing about Jesus. Instead, words about weather, sports, cottages, and even politics can often be heard. And that's pretty strange in a place where our faith brings us all together. But maybe we don't know where to begin. We don't know what to say. Or maybe like the disciples, when we do not understand, we are afraid and we are silent. We may be talking about a lot in life, especially in today's world, constantly sharing with one another through social media. But how often, even in the midst of this, are we, like the disciples, actually silent? This was the second time in the Gospel of Mark Jesus predicted his death and resurrection. The first time was only a chapter earlier, in chapter 8. It is in today's gospel that Jesus again foretells his death and resurrection, and still the disciples do not understand. But that's not where it ends. Again, in the next chapter, Jesus takes the 12 aside when they're on their way to Jerusalem to tell them about what was going to happen. And when the disciples were in the house in Capernaum, Jesus asked them what they were arguing about on the way. And even though they were silent, our scripture says that Jesus sat down, called the 12, and spoke to them about who really would be the greatest and first. Jesus knew what they were arguing about, even though they were silent. And he didn't turn them away or accept their silence, but rather invited them closer, drawing them together and talking them through what they did not understand. In the midst of the disciples' silence, Jesus continued to welcome them, share with them, and love them. Like the disciples, there's so much we don't know and understand about our faith and our God. But we begin to learn and delve deeper into our questions, growing in our faith and relationship with God when we read and hear our gospel. And today, our gospel teaches us that Jesus welcomes us even when we do not understand, when we are ashamed, when we are silent with each other and with God. God invites us into a vulnerable relationship that can be messy, full of uncertainty, and filled with deep periods of silence, where we may not open ourselves up, our can of worms, because sometimes we just don't know what will come out. And our questions and stories can be a hard piece of us to share. But what if we did? What if, unlike the disciples, we broke our silence, filling them with hard questions, our experiences, our beliefs, and sharing them with one another and with God in the vulnerable way we are invited to do? What would you say? What would you ask? What would you pray? And how would it change who you are and your relationship with your neighbor and with God? I remember when I was younger, I was practicing for my first solo in the church choir, and I was so nervous in practice, I was like whispering the song. And the choir director marched up to me and said, "Listen, I always hear you yelling and talking in this church, so don't be so quiet when you sing about God. Don't be so quiet talking about God, asking questions about God. You may not always get the answers that you want or as fast as you want them, but you will grow in your faith and as a child of God. However coherent or muddled it may be, today we are especially invited to not be afraid and instead break the silence by asking our questions and sharing our faith with those around us, those we never thought we would, and with God. I pray that we do so, and that in the midst of this, in our breaking of the silence, we feel the presence of the one who is always listening to us, welcoming us, and always loving us. Amen.